If you would, look at your neighbor and say, God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Now do it one more time, really enthusiastically. God loves you, and so do I. Amen. You guys have it down this morning. I want to challenge us all this week. I want to challenge us to pray a simple prayer to live the alternative life and to be imitators of God. It is simply this: Jesus, make me like you. Clothe me in your righteousness. Jesus, make me like you. Clothe me in your righteousness. And I wonder today if you would just take your hands and place them in your lap, open them up, and if you would pray that with me. Jesus, make me like you, clothe me in your righteousness. One of my favorite books is Harper Lee's award-winning novel, To Kill a Mockingbird. The main character who tells the story is a little girl named Jean Louise Finch, and she goes by the name of Scout. Her father, Atticus Finch, is the town's attorney and a man of deep principles and integrity. And one day, Scout came home from school and told her father about some problems she was having with the teacher and several other students. And in an effort to help her get along better with others, Atticus gave her this advice. He said, first of all, if you can learn a simple trick, Scout, you'll get along a lot better with all kinds of people. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it. Atticus offered Scout an alternative. An alternative to get to know other people. An alternative to see things from their point of view. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his or her point of view. Climb into their skin and walk around in it. Perhaps Atticus had been informed by Jesus himself, as Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God, was born into the world in our skin, to walk around in it, to live in it, ultimately to save it. It's clear that in today's reading from the letter to the Ephesians and in the account of Jesus' teaching in the Gospel of John, that God in Christ is offering the world an alternative way of living. And Jesus has climbed into the skin of humanity, has become like us, a human being, fully human, fully God, and is sharing an alternative way of living, and it's a way that leads us to eternal life. An alternative way of living. Let's take a trip to Ephesus. The epistle lesson is filled with specific issues that the Ephesian church was dealing with: anger, theft, evil talk, grieving the Holy Spirit, bitterness, wrath, wrangling, slander, and malice. Gee, that sounds like an exciting church. And the author of the letter puts it all right out there for those of us and for those that would have heard this letter proclaimed in this time. The passage opens with the author admonishing the congregation to put away falsehood and to speak truth. Other translations say to strip away the old and be clothed in the new. Be clothed in an alternative way of living. In the second half of the letter to the Ephesians, the theme is to encourage people to persevere in the social and personal dimensions of their lives as new creations in Jesus Christ, as those who have stripped away the old and have been clothed in the new. There is no way to get around that if we follow Jesus Christ, our lives should be different, filled with compassion and filled with love. Everybody loves babies, at least most people I've met. But what if the diapers on a baby were never changed? Over time, even if you tried to cover it with powder and perfume, the truth is you have to change the diaper. The old must give way to the new. The author of the letter to the Ephesians lists the newness that replaces the old in the Christian life. He says that if you're angry, be angry, but do not sin in your anger. He says, rather than thieving, labor and work honestly. He says, rather than speaking evil, say only those things that build others up and only those things that give grace to other people. Be people who are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as Christ has forgiven you. It's easy to hear or read the passage from Ephesians as a list of do's and don'ts for Christians. And nothing turns other people off from the church as much as walking around with do's and don't signage. We have to see the Spirit in the passage. We have to see the passage as an invitation to an alternative way of living, a way of living that characterizes the Christian life. Instead of being clothed in those things that break other people down, that disregard the good in people, we can live a life clothed in the love of God, clothed in those things that lift people up and encourage them. We can strip off the old and put on the newness of Christ. To strip away the old and put on the new. To recognize that there is an alternative to our ways of carnal thinking and doing life. That's the big challenge, isn't it? That's the big challenge. It's easier said than it is done. But it gets easier when we climb into the skin of other people. When with compassion and love we take the time to identify and understand where other people may be coming from. More often than not, when you have been harmed by people with perfect scores on the Ephesians don't do list, it's typically not because of anything you have done to them. It's because of the pain that they carry in their own lives. They probably haven't climbed around in your skin. And an unfortunate part of our human nature is that in our grumbling and in our pain, we target other people to become our scapegoats, to make us feel better about ourselves. Choosing to be clothed in the love of God, choosing to put ourselves in the skin of others, often comes as a second thought only to the care of ourselves. And that's what happened in this scene in the Gospel of John. The Jews began to grumble and complain about Jesus. God in Jesus Christ was ushering in an entirely new kingdom, an entirely new mindset of living. His every move was offending and confusing them, and rightly so. Total love for all people. That was new. a focus on love first and law second. That was new. A teacher and a healer who spoke in parables, not a religious dictator. They grumbled and complained about this to one another and to Jesus himself. And before we judge those complaining and grumbling, we must remember ourselves, our own human nature. And when it comes to stripping away the old and being clothed in the new, the most comfortable and convenient thing to do is to grumble and complain, to walk around in dirty diapers. That's a good thought, Jesus, but you know, you don't live in my skin. Thanks for your advice, Jesus, but this is just how life is for me. I've got to keep up my guard and protect myself, Jesus. I think it's best that we stay at a distance from one another. But the truth and the grace of the gospel is that Jesus has come and walked around in our skin. Jesus knows what living life on this earth is like. Bishop Will Willimon says, "Let's admit it. There is something within us that likes to think of God high and lifted up, distant, exclusively in heaven alone. And we so want religion to be something just spiritual, rather than something that is uncomfortably incarnational." Jesus was, and Jesus is, uncomfortably incarnational. He may have began his life in the safety and security of his rural home in Nazareth, but as he lived and after his baptism, it wasn't that easy for Jesus. He experienced everything that we experience. God had jumped in to the skin of humanity, and Jesus can relate to us. We read in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help." A humbling part of the gospel is that Jesus did endure the pain of being in human skin. He's been there out of his great love for us. He's endured what you might be enduring this very moment. You say, Jesus, my spouse, my friend, they've totally let me down. Jesus says back, "My best friend betrayed me too." You say, "Jesus, people are always talking about me. They don't understand me." Jesus says, "They schemed and led me to my own death." You say, "I feel alone in my Christian life, Jesus. I'm trying so hard and no one understands that I want to be a better person." And Jesus says, "My friends fell asleep when I tried to pray with them." You say, "I have nothing of worth, Jesus." And Jesus says, "I was born in a borrowed barn. All I want is your heart." Jesus has been in our skin. And all of the miracles and healings and good that he did, many chose to not live the alternative way. Many chose to despise and reject him. And as he approached his death, sharp tongues became instruments of scorn and spitting and rejection and shame. Praise turned to shouts of "crucify him." the bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice that we read about in Ephesians. Well, Jesus lived through it. He was on the receiving end. And yet, as Ephesians reminds us, Christ loved us, gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He has been in our skin. Jesus knows what life can be like. But he was righteous in times of anger. He labored and worked honestly to share with the needy. He built other people up. He gave grace with his words. He was kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving in the face of all of those people that were living the Ephesians don't do list. So what's the alternative? It's simply to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Jesus himself, Jesus is the footsteps of God through this world. Not simply giving us an example to follow by our own determination, but by cutting the path for us and then walking alongside us. We imitate Jesus by grace, not as those who are threatened into stepping in only the right places, but as those who are loved into walking in a way of holiness. It is an alternative way. Jesus stripped off the clothes of heaven and put on our clothes. Jesus is our example of replacing the old and putting on the new. Where do you find yourself today? Do you find yourself being tossed about in the sins of Ephesus? Or do you find yourself seeking an alternative way to live your life? There is hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in living the alternative, being filled with the bread of life, the bread of heaven, being filled with the God that has jumped into our skin and who knows us and understands us and in the reality of life gives us grace all along the way. Christ loved us, gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want to challenge us this week. Challenge us to live the alternative life. To live the kingdom life. I want to challenge us to pray a simple prayer to live the alternative and be imitators of God. And it's simply this: Jesus, make me like you. Clothe me in your righteousness. What if you would take your hands and place them in your lap and pray that with me? Jesus, make me like you. Clothe me in your righteousness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.